Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Today, we are going to do something a little bit different, which is super fun for not only all of you as our listeners, but also all of us here at Top Advisor Marketing. We are going to talk to Craig Hirsch. Now, Craig Hirsch is an estate planning attorney in Southern Florida. He runs something called the Freedom Practice, which is a practice management program for estate planning attorneys to help them grow their practice. And as we were preparing for the podcast, Craig writes for everybody, and I'm going to have him go over because they're magazines and stuff that all of you subscribe to. But the other really neat thing is I want all of you to pay very close attention to what Craig's saying, because some of the things that he helps other attorneys to grow their practice could very well be something that is so fundamentally and unique and different that no other financial services professional is doing, and you might want to implement it into their practice too. So Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me.
Now, you also have a podcast because you're in a super cool recording studio room right now. Would you mind, before we dive into all of the publications that you're involved in, can they subscribe to your podcast?
Yes, they can. It's under, go to the website forgamechange.com. It's also on iTunes in the number four. It's number four, then gamechange.com.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, when we were preparing, man, you've written for, you said, Wills and Estates or Trusts and Estates?
Yeah, Trust and Estates Magazine, which is one of the big trade journals for attorneys, estate planning attorneys, CPAs, financial advisors in estate planning. I'm on their editorial advisory board. There's only a few attorneys around the country who are on that editorial advisory board, and I'm in their modern practice section, which is the section that talks about some of the things that you're here for, that you know you're trying to impart your wisdom on marketing and those sorts of things for professionals.
Now, you've also been in wealthmanagement.com, which many of our readers read.
Yes, wealthmanagement.com is the website actually for Trust and Estates Magazine. They have a subsidiary website on there. And my Trust and Estates articles, I write online for wealthmanagement.com. So if you search Craig R. Hirsch or Craig Hirsch, H-E-R-S-C-H, you will find my articles. And the articles that appear in the Trust and Estates Magazine, you have to be a subscriber to Trust and Estates Magazine in order to view.
Now, you said that you have an upcoming article in wealthmanagement.com that's very applicable to our listeners right now. So if you, I'd like for you to give us a preview of that, and then I want to talk much more about what the Freedom Practice is.
Yeah. Are you talking about the quid pro quo destroyer?
Yeah.
Well, one of the columns I have, it's coming out, one of the articles, this will appear in Trust and Estates Magazine. It's in the February 2019 issue, is called the quid pro quo destroyer. And what that focuses on is, you know, most attorneys, CPAs, financial planners, when we refer clients, a lot of times we're thinking, well, I refer one to you and then you refer one to me. And if it kind of gets out of whack, what eventually happens is the party that's referring more gets a little dissatisfied and things tend to go south. So my article focuses on why that happens and what we can do aside from one for one type of tit for tat referrals. How do we get around that? How do we create value for each other? How does a CPA or a financial planner or an attorney create value for one another?
I believe one of the greatest ways that you can provide value to each other, of course, and I'm very partial here, is podcasting. Some of our clients, Craig, have brought on their estate planning attorneys, have brought on their CPAs, have brought on divorce attorneys and interviewed them as financial services professionals, and just so that their audience can hear more about, you know, the benefits of working with or whatever. And it has really deepened the relationship to the point where it's not even quid pro quo anymore. It's just, it is that relationship reciprocal opportunity that I know my industry is desperately looking for from your industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Podcasting, that's one of the examples that I write about in this article, because it is developing a relationship and you're helping one another. You're going on air, you're using the podcast and your social media accounts, you're blasting those out maybe to your clients. And that goes beyond just the quid pro quo. So exactly, Matt, these are really good ideas.
Let's talk about the Freedom Practice. Where did it come from? And not to sound jerkish, because that's never my intention, but why you? Like, why am I going to listen to Craig Hirsch?
Yeah, well, those are great questions. I've actually been, I don't know if you've heard of the Strategic Coach program, Sullivan's program.
Totally.
Okay, so I'm in Dan Sullivan's program for about 14, 15 years now. And there were a lot of my colleagues in the program with me, other estate planning attorneys. And I made a lot of progress in the sense that I'm able to take the concepts that Sullivan teaches. And I don't know if you know about Joe Polish and the Genius Network or Brian Kurtz and Titan Marketing. I spend a lot of time and money in all these various places. And the disconnect that happens between those coaching classes and your practice is the fact that implementing these ideas, you know, how do you translate a big picture idea like that into something as specific as an estate planning practice? Well, I've been doing that now for 15 years, and I've been building my credentials, such as with Trust and Estates, with Wealth Counsel. I'm also, I just mentioned Wealth Counsel. I'm also on Wealth Counsel's practice development podcast. I'm on Wealth Counsel quarterly. I've done symposiums for them. So, you know, that's why me, because I've been doing this for a while now. And I've also managed to really find success in using these systems and processes that I've created from my coaching. And now I've boiled it down so it's really easy for an estate planner to take and implement into their own practice.
I am a huge fan. Dan Sullivan happens to be my hero from a coaching perspective. I was a financial services coach for many, many years. And I love Joe Polish's podcast, I Love Marketing. In fact, I recommend it to absolutely everybody because I think that he is just such a great, fresh, organic, new, you know, he's willing to try just about anything to get people's attention. And because of that, he's been wildly successful.
Yeah, Joe's in my 10X class, so sometimes I sit next to Joe and he gives me some great ideas that I then take back to my practice and I'd say, hey, this works here, and then I take it to the Freedom Practice and teach it to all the attorneys that are in my system.
So let's talk about what that system looks like. What is the number one thing that you're hearing from estate planning attorneys in the Freedom Practice and they say to you, oh my God, Craig, this was worth every penny?
Yeah, well, I have two processes. One we call the Family Estate and Legacy Program, which is our estate planning. It's a front stage and backstage process. You've probably read. Have you read Pine and Gilmore's The Experience Economy, Matt?
I have not, but now you're adding a book to my list.
Well, that's a book that I think almost anyone in our fields, in the financial and the legal and the tax fields, needs to read. It's Pine. It's a little academic. I think it's published by Harvard Press. But it's Pine and Gilmore, and it's the experience economy. So what Pine and Gilmore teach is that we're supposed to have a front stage, a client experience. That's where the new marketplace is. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise, we're all being commoditized, right?
Yeah.
You know, lawyers are commoditized by what? Rocket Lawyer, LegalZoom, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Financial planners, you can't go on television without watching, hey, we'll trade you for $5 a trade or $6 a trade. Or you know, everything's becoming commoditized, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes, absolutely.
So what my programs do is they break free of this commoditization trap because – and where it is really is the experience economy. For example, why would I spend, I don't know, $700, $800 a room at the Ritz-Carlton when I can get that same room at Best Western for $80, right?
Sure.
Well, it's the experience, right?
Right.
So that's what we need to create in our service industries. That's what we need to create in the legal industry. That's what we need to create in the financial services industry. If we don't have a top-notch experience, and then there's a lot of thinking that goes into that. If we don't have a top-notch experience, we're just part of this transactional, commoditized economy. And ultimately, we're going to get run out of business, just like Amazon ran all the bookstores out of business.
So what does that mean, though, to you? Let's get brass tacks here, man. When you say client experience, in the estate planning world, what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, let's talk about this. So I failed to say my second process is called the Estate Settlement Program, which is for estates administrations after one of your clients dies. Hmm. So I have these two experiences that have both front stage elements and backstage elements. So your question was, you know, what does that experience look like? What you have to do, especially in the estate planning world, you have to break down that experience. Where are the client touches? Okay. Starting with maybe your website, their first call to you What does your initial client package look like? What does it contain? Does it have any video elements, podcast elements that you email to them? What does that first experience in the office look like and feel like and so forth? You have to take all these elements and break them down into this experience so that it's unique and it's uniquely valuable to the client.
So we talk about that all the time. Touches. When you are okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, man, and please understand this
with all due respect.
But how is estate planning not transactional, especially when it comes to wills and trusts, right? I come into you because I need a specific document or documents, plural. You create those documents for me and then I leave.
Yeah.
How are you teaching estate planning attorneys to truly keep top of mind and create a lot of reoccurring revenue in business?
Yeah. Well, when you consider it the way you just did, and that's how many clients consider it, it's all about the documents. And a document is transactional in nature, isn't it?
Yes.
My documents might be superior and far better, and they really are, than LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer, mm-hmm. or even the guy down the street who might do a little bankruptcy, might do a little civil litigation. How are my documents different? Well, can the client really differentiate that? Not at all. No, the client doesn't know anything about the documents. So what you have to build is a relationship. You know, what does a client really want their estate plan to accomplish? And typically the client will say something like, well, I want, you know, 50% to go to Sally and 40% to go to Joey, you know, but that's not what they're really talking about. For example, if you get sick, who's going to take care of your needs? Who's going to be what do you want them to do? Do you want them to be able, for example, to take your money out of the brokerage firm that you're in now and put it in a different brokerage firm? Because that's what your trustee could do. You name your son. Let's say your son takes the accounts and gives it to his good buddy, you know, Benny, mm-hmm. who's a financial planner, right? So, and the clients oftentimes don't realize that that's even possible, right? And this is stuff that might be really, really basic to you and me. It might be really, really basic to an estate planning attorney or a financial advisor, but to our clients, these are new revelations. Mm. Oh my goodness. So you develop these relationships with the clients. You talk about what's really, really important. And I think there's a couple elements that you must have if you're an estate planning attorney in order to develop these relationships. And that's a client care program or a maintenance program, it's called by some. And another element is you actually have to help the client transfer the assets into the trust.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you a funny story. Yeah, you just totally clicked something with me. I was working for an organization and we specialize in charitable remainder unit trusts. And we met with this very prestigious K Street guy. And he opened up his drawer and he said, these are all trusts that have never been funded. And all of us just like our mouths hit the ground. He's like, I've already been paid for this. We're like, oh, my God, what is that? Ethically, I have an issue with that. But other than that, I love what you just said, because guess how awesome would it be for the continuing relationship, continuing education, for you to partner with these other relationships you already talked about in order to provide a full blown 360 degree comprehensive, you know, relationship that you can build with clients that might have just come in for documents, but really leave with a relationship with a really great estate planning attorney.
Exactly. Well, let me give you this. So, you know, I'm in Southwest Florida, mm-hmm. Fort Myers and Naples market. That's where my firm practices is. And so most of the clients that I receive have already been through estate planning once, twice, several times. Oh. So they come in, they bring their documents. They might be from Indiana or Ohio or Michigan or somewhere, Massachusetts. The Boston Red Sox train in Fort Myers, so I have a lot of clients from Massachusetts, mm-hmm. Minnesota, because the Twins train down here. But in any event, so they come into me and they have this nice trust and it's all in a nice binder and everything. And I say, well, let me look at your bank statements. Let me look at your brokerage statements. Let me look at your IRA beneficiary designations. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, almost 99% of the time, nothing's, you know, that should be transferred to the trust has been transferred to the trust. And you know what I say to those clients? I say, you have a very expensive will.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's what they have.
Wow.
Because, you know, the pour over will is going to catch it. It's going to all go through probate.
Right.
But most law firms don't take that step. And the reason they don't is because they don't have the manpower to do it. They might have a secretary or two. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do it. It's tedious and time consuming. And most of all, they don't want to charge for it, because then they're their charges look higher than their competitors. That happens to me all the time. The clients come in and they say, hey, you know, you said your trust is $7,500. The guy down the street is $4,500. Well, are you really comparing apples to apples there? Because we fund your trust. We have a maintenance program. We do X, Y, and Z. And see, that's what I'm teaching the other attorneys in the freedom practice is how to do that. And you, and by the way, it's also – this is another – this might be a whole other topic for another podcast. It's all about packaging your wisdom.
Ooh. Okay. You know what? I might have to have you back for that one because that is exactly what we talk about from a marketing and branding perspective for financial services professionals is making sure that they're packaging. But I have to rewind a little bit, Craig, because the same issue you're having is the same issue that my very, very good, highly educated, highly competent financial services professionals, mostly certified financial planning professionals, will get that objective the objection all the time. Okay, so your financial plan costs 10 grand, right? But yeah. I can get a financial plan on, I don't know, financialplan.com, which is not even a thing, I don't think, for 2,500. And the advisor has to justify so much more value than really a lot of consumers can absorb because they don't understand. And you even said it right at the beginning, brother. You said, my documents could be exponentially better than yours. How in the heck do I know that as a client? Help me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, when you're packaging your wisdom, and again, I think this is a whole other topic for another podcast, but what you are going to is, you know, you're 10,000 and your competitor's 2,500. Now, what you realize is when someone says something like that to you, they're immediately putting you on the defensive, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so now you're on the defensive. The best way to counter something like that, I've learned, is not necessarily by trying to justify yourself, but why don't you try to ask a bunch of questions? For example, when you use that service through the online broker, when you call, is it the same person every time or do you get somebody mm-hmm. different?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a frustration to you? What are your worries if you should become incapacitated if your son, daughter, spouse calls that same line? Is there going to be a problem there with coordination? Is there going to be a problem? You know, so by asking these sorts of questions, and by the way, the client may not answer the question, but psychologically, humans are programmed. Whether or not we answer the question verbally, our mind is answering the question. Okay? Our mind's answering the question. So if we ask a lot of really good questions, we're going to differentiate and distinguish ourselves. And that's how you overcome those objections.
Do you help with scripting in the freedom practice?
Well, we talk about it.
Okay.
Now, you know, when you're talking about packaging your wisdom, everybody's wisdom's different, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
You know, your wisdom's different than mine. Your style's going to be different than mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is some scripting, but another part of it is really being you. You know, what are your strengths? What's the wisdom that you have? What do you bring to the table? What's your life experience? For example, you know, my mother passed away 2 years ago. She had AML, which is acute myelodysplastic leukemia. And through that process over 12, 14 years, she had 2 bone marrow transplants at the MD Anderson Cancer Center. Well, I learned a lot during that process because all of a sudden I was on the other end side of the desk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't just the estate plan attorney. I was the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the son with the sick mother, right? So I bring certain elements to the table that, you know, someone else may not bring. And the trick is, how do you package it? How do you get your life experience out there? By the way, telling stories is a good one in podcasts, by the way, that people can relate to. And that differentiates you. That distinguishes you. That's what makes you worth $10,000.
I love it. Everything that you said there, I'm hoping that our listeners are feverishly writing down, or as you were saying, even when you're asking questions, you're answering them in your mind. And Craig, I'm sitting here nodding, right? I'm like, yep, absolutely. I'm not saying anything out loud, but I'm like, yep, I absolutely agree with everything. Okay, now when it comes to how you use podcasting or how you're planning on using podcasting in 2019 to help, you know, market the freedom practice and market your own practice, what do you do? What is your goal? How do you do it? What are your topics? If you don't mind, let's take a moment, because as I started off, you already have a podcast. You're already set up to do it very, very professionally. You've got a great voice and great personality. What are you going to do to make podcasting a big part of your marketing component in 2019, and how are you going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question, Matt. You know the answer to that. You probably know more about this than I do, so I'd almost like to hear your thoughts on that. I'll tell you this. I have several different ways that I use podcasts. Let me tell you about one that's a little unusual.
Okay.
So in a state settlement, I found myself saying the same thing over and over and over to every family that lost somebody as we went through the process about gathering the assets, about income taxes, about estate taxes if that applied, about selling a home out of the estate. All these things I found I kept saying over and over and over again. So you know what I did? I recorded a bunch of podcasts on them. So then when something happens with one of those issues, we have a nice email that's really graphically designed very nicely, has some supporting PDF materials, and we send the podcast out. We say, listen to this, and then we're going to have a conversation after you listen to this. And what that does is that uses the podcast to elevate the conversation to a much higher level, and you get a lot more done, let's say, in 20 or 30 minutes than you otherwise would have. So that's one way you can use podcasts. That's one way that I teach my attorneys in the freedom practice to differentiate themselves. And the neat thing about that is, you know, a client oftentimes thinks as you're talking, oh my gosh, I don't understand half of this, mm-hmm. right? You know, he's using words I've never heard before, and I don't want to sound dumb. You know, I felt that way in my doctor's office. Have you, Matt?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah. So the neat thing about using podcasts as this kind of a tool is that they can sit and they can listen, they can rewind, they can take notes, and then they can ask questions. And that's, again, distinguishing yourself, providing client value. That's one way to use podcasts. Now, that doesn't answer your question about how I plan to use it, for example, to promote Freedom Practice. So Freedom Practice, we have various issues that estate planning attorneys in particular have to address. You know, quid pro quo is one good example. Mm-hmm. How about teamwork? You know, what happens? What kind of team members should you have? What are they right fit team members? How do you decide about a right team member? Matt, have you used like the Kolbe process, K-O-L-B-E?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've used ABC. I've also used Strength Finders is another big one that I use. Yeah.
Yeah, Strength Finders. So one of the elements in Freedom Practice, we talk about how we integrate Kolbe into everything we do, not only with hiring people, but with figuring out with the team members that we do have what role they should be playing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's innumerable ways that you can use podcasts to educate attorneys, you know, educate financial planners as you do. And it's a really useful tool. I don't know about you. I listen to all sorts of podcasts on my drives. Do you do that? Everywhere I go, I'm listening to podcasts.
Yeah,
how about you?
I don't. I mean, I've been a podcast junkie for a long time, but I'm also such a student of the game, much like you. So I'm always looking for new, unique ways to do things, sounds, production value. But I'm sorry, I have to rewind something. You just said something that I don't think my clients have ever heard on a podcast, which is sending out an audio recording, otherwise known as a podcast, because podcasts are convenient radio, basically, to your clients when a life event happens in preparation for them to come into a meeting. That is freaking brilliant, Craig, because you're right. I mean, I'm lost most places I go, to be really honest with you, when somebody's trying to talk to me about stuff. But especially in the doctor's office, I mean, I just dealt with some estate planning stuff with my family, right? I don't know what the heck they're saying, but how awesome would it have been if they would have given me a preview what the heck I'm supposed to talk about? Because then I could have gone in and they wouldn't have had to charge me for an hour. They could have charged me for 30 minutes, first off. And secondly, I would have felt totally empowered to ask the questions that I needed to ask because I was prepared to ask those questions. Dude, you put me on the spot for stuff like that. I'm like, I probably should think about this a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly how we use it. And imagine if you had an email that went out that had a link to the podcast. Mm-hmm. You have a PDF supporting material, might have a short white paper that might be a page or two. Mm-hmm. It might be a form for them to fill out. We have those too. It might be a questionnaire. Mm-hmm. It might be a list of things to bring. You know, you could do all sorts of things with that podcast and the associated email.
From a social media perspective, how do you use social media to help raise awareness for your firm and also the Freedom Practice?
Yeah, we're just now starting to try to figure that out. Okay. I'll tell you, it's an ever-changing world, and mm-hmm. we've gone down a few paths that didn't work very well.
Okay.
But yeah, we're figuring that out. You know, we have a Facebook account, of course. I have a LinkedIn account. Go to Craig Hirsch, and you'll find me on LinkedIn. And I just posted, by the way, just today, because my December article in Trust and States magazine, which is called The Experience Gap, which is something else we could do a whole podcast on,
mm-hmm.
The Experience Gap. That hit the December issue of Trust and Estates this week, so I posted that on my LinkedIn profile. But we basically use it as a communication tool, as an advertising tool. And again, going back to Pine and Gilmore and the experience economy, mm-hmm. they talk about the experience. They talk about aesthetic experiences, entertainment experiences, escapist. So those are three of the E's. The fourth E is educational. And that's primarily professionals in our industries will do is they can focus on the educational experience, and podcasting, social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, that those are all ways to blast out your educational experience.
And Craig, we will make sure that we put a link so that our audience can purchase and or download that book or listen to it like Audible wise. You're absolutely correct. I was just at this Market Council Summit meeting. Where it was mostly attorneys, and they were talking about how client experience is so important in working with the attorneys and having it be almost like a symbiotic relationship, and how your partner, the estate planning attorney, is going to partner with a financial services professional to offer true financial planning. Because now in the Certified Financial Planning Professional Program, wills, trusts, and estate is part of their education, and they should be plugging into somebody like you and having a trusted relationship with somebody like you and the people in your freedom practice pretty quickly, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's opportunities. There's so many opportunities for both professions. Let me give you one example. So as an estate planning attorney, what I typically recommend to my clients is rather than outright distributions to their children, why don't we keep it in a continuing trust? Well, why would you do that? Well, what if your child gets divorced? What if they have a bankruptcy issue? What if they have a, you know, creditor problem? What if they run somebody over in their car, right? So by keeping it continuing trust, you can still name that child as their own trustee, and they can control the investments with their financial advisor. They can control the distributions, and they can control ultimately who it goes to at their death through what's called a power of appointment. Now, the downside to continuing trust is that the income that's accumulated inside the trust and not actually distributed out to the child or out to the beneficiary is taxed at a much higher marginal rate. The marginal income tax rates for trusts is compressed, for testamentary, for irrevocable trusts is compressed. Any income that's accumulated above $12,500 has to pay the highest federal marginal rate, which happens to be, I think, 37% today. Now, imagine if the attorney said, well, we could do something called a beneficiary deemed owner trust, or we can do something called a beneficiary deemed income trust. Well, what's that do? Well, one of the things that does is it deems the income to be distributed to the beneficiary, even though it's not. So why would you want that? Well, because if your son or daughter is undergoing divorce, you don't want this income to be distributed out and get subject to the divorce or subject to some kind of an alimony, you know, hearing or something like that. Instead, you accumulate the income inside the trust during this period of danger. But at the same time, you're not suffering the adverse income tax consequences. And you see, this is where the financial professional and with a good estate planning attorney can get together and provide real value to the client. You know, they're not, you know, the financial advisor, you're not going to get this from Schwab. You know, you're not going to get this from Fidelity or Vanguard Online or E-Trade. I mean, not that those are bad places, but I'm just saying, you know, the financial advisor who has this relationship with this client, he brings this estate planning attorney that, and the two of them together say, okay, now this is how we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to set the account up, and this is how the trust will be set up, and again, we're addressing the real concerns of a client that they can't get online, they can't get from LegalZoom, they can't get from Rocket Lawyer, and that's the name of the game.
Gotcha. Craig, we are going to have you back because this is so much fun. I've got a whole page of notes of different things that I want to ask you about, but we try to keep these podcasts about 30 minutes because we know that's the ideal length for a podcast. So are you cool with coming back and talking to our audience one more time, if not more?
Anytime. Fantastic. Anytime you want me, I'm happy to come back.
All right. Well, Craig, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to make sure that we have all sorts of links in our show notes to make sure that they can get in touch with the Freedom Practice, that they can also download that book or buy that book. And everybody who's listening, think about this. If you know an estate planning attorney who isn't doing all of the things that Craig just kind of gave you an insight to with what he does at the Freedom Practice, how awesome of a relationship building tool would it be for you to sit down, take your best estate planning attorney out to lunch and say, hey, I just listened to a podcast with this guy named Craig Hirsch. He's got this great practice management program for people just like you. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's something you should look into. Man. Yeah,
can I give you the web address for the program is the number four, freedompractice.com. So it's the number four, then freedompractice.com, all one word.
Magnificent. All right. So for the Freedom Practice, this is Matt Haller. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time we come out with a new one, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And if you know an estate planning attorney who really could use this thought leadership and this wisdom that Craig gave today, make sure that you share it with your estate planning attorney. So we will see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by iris.xyz. A platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.